Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most precious and joyous events in a family is the birth of a child. It brings happiness to the parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and everyone else who hears about that good news. The parents invite everyone to rejoice with them on that happy occasion. There is such joy because a miracle has taken place. In the Apostles' Creed, which we recited earlier in our worship service, we confess, we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. With these words, we declare that we believe that God is the one who has made us and all that exists. Life never just happens by itself. It is part of God's continuing creation. When that birth occurs, the parents begin to make plans for their child. They begin to think about the education that will be needed and will be most beneficial for their child, and the experiences that their child will have as he or she grows up. Christian parents also make other plans, important plans about the spiritual welfare of their child. That is crucial because with the physical birth of a child, there is a problem, one that is common to all of us. Because we all inherit a sinful nature from our parents, we are all born destined to die. Each breath that we breathe brings us closer to the time of our death. How sad and tragic it would be if it weren't for the fact that the ultimate miracle of life does not really begin with the first birth, but with a second one, which is the beginning of life forever. That is really the miracle of life, a miracle of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is our Father who gives us life and who sent his Son to be born when the time had fully come. Nicodemus, whom we hear about in our gospel reading for today, believed that God was his creator, and he knew that it was God the Father who had given him life. But he also knew that he would die. When Jesus told him that he must be born again from above in order to enter the kingdom of God, Nicodemus was incredulous. He couldn't believe it. He knew that it's obviously impossible for people to re-enter their mother's womb and to be born a second time from their mothers. Jesus responded to his question by explaining that, no, a person must be born of water and the Spirit, or else he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But still, Nicodemus couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about. As a teacher of the law in Israel, he understood the concept of God's law very well. God's law says, the soul who sins is the one who will die. Nicodemus knew that you get what you deserve. Although many people in our world today don't have that same deep sense of responsibility for their own actions that Nicodemus felt, yet when people today look at the world around them, they are fully aware of the principle of cause and effect. Breaking the government's law results, very often, in punishment. Failure to meet course requirements in high school or college results in failing the course. Life has its demands, and when those demands are not met, the result is often tragedy. Sickness results in death. Accidents can have that same effect. Even if someone escapes all of those tragic things throughout their life, old age will eventually take its toll. No one escapes. Nicodemus knew all of that very well, and so do we. But what he did not realize at this time was the good news that God had given him life, that God had sent his Son also to give him true spiritual life. God's giving of life to us does not merely consist in giving physical life when we are conceived and born and everything else that we need to sustain our physical lives, But God also meets the inner spiritual needs of people around which our true existence really revolves. God deals with matters of life and death in their deepest sense. God gives his Son to deal with what is of ultimate importance to every human being. God gives his Son for the whole world in love. In love, the Son, true God and true man, gives his own life to make new life possible for us. When Nicodemus met Jesus, he recognized that there was something unique about Jesus. He said to Jesus, "No one can do these miraculous signs you are doing unless God is with him." Nicodemus was aware of at least some of the miracles that Jesus had been doing. But those miracles that Jesus did, as awesome and amazing as they were also similar to some of the miracles that God had done through his prophets in the Old Testament. The real uniqueness of Jesus was not only in his teachings or his miracles, as outstanding as they were, but the real uniqueness of Jesus consisted of his sacrificing his own life on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Jesus told Nicodemus about this by referring to the account of the bronze snake in the Old Testament. If you recall that event, you remember that as a result of Israel's grumbling against God while they were wandering for many years in the wilderness, God sent poisonous snakes among the people. People were dying by the thousands as they were bitten by those poisonous snakes. But then at the direction of God, Moses made a snake out of bronze and he hung it up on a pole in the sight of all the people with a promise of God that whoever looked at that bronze snake, trusting in God's promise, would be healed of that fatal poisonous snake bite. The cure was there, available for all people, but only those who listened to God's promise and believed it and looked at that snake were cured. In the same way, in a reference to his own death on the cross, Jesus was telling Nicodemus that his death would be a cure for death, the greatest sickness ever to have afflicted mankind, one that is suffered by everyone who lives. That is why Jesus is so unique. Today, there are philosophers, popular thinkers who capture our attention with their insights into life and with their proposals for meeting the difficulties of this life. Today, we have all sorts of approaches for attainment of mental health. Disease and sickness are being overcome through careful experiments and through breakthroughs in scientific and medicinal health technology that are nothing short of miraculous. But still, there is death. The uniqueness of the gospel, the good news of God's salvation, is that through his own death, Jesus entered into the stronghold of the devil himself, the one who holds people enslaved by the fear of death, and Jesus destroyed that power of the devil. His own resurrection is witness to that truth of his victory. Now that same life that he has is available to all of us. But just as there were many in Israel in the Old Testament who did not make use of that cure from those poisonous snake bites that God had provided, so there are many people in our world today who do not believe that there is really any escape from death for themselves either. For them, the message about a Savior who died is foolishness, and they cannot see the value of turning their eyes to him for salvation. Yes, they might be able to accept his teachings about an ethical way of life. They can admire the ideals of love and goodwill for which he stood. But the message of the cross is foolishness to those who have their eyes fastened on this world and the things that it consists of. They cannot accept the miracle of life of the God who acts for us in his own crucifixion and death. And neither can we accept that message by ourselves. So God performs the miracle of life for us by giving us faith to believe, the power to believe that Jesus' saving work for us is true. Nicodemus thought that it could not happen. For him, it was so difficult to shift his thoughts from the physical things of this world to the spiritual dimension of life. And that way, he was certainly no different from many modern people today. In fact, it may have been easier for him than it is for the person who witnesses the miracles of modern-day medicine or the achievements of science and industry that we see today. Like Nicodemus, the emphasis of so many people in our world today is on the tangible, the observable, things we can touch and see. Nicodemus thought that no person could live forever. Our observations might lead us to that same conclusion. But Jesus turns our focus of attention to those things which cannot be seen with the human eye. He turns us to think about the work of the Holy Spirit. Using a human, earthly analogy, Jesus reminds Nicodemus that there are things which we know and we believe, yet cannot be fit into the categories that we can see and observe. The wind, for example, Jesus mentions, cannot be seen, but its effects are clearly evident as the trees and the grass sway with the movement of the air currents. Who of us can deny the reality of the power of a tornado or a hurricane, but yet we never actually see the wind itself? Jesus says that is like the amazing work of the Holy Spirit as he gives faith and spiritual life to us. In holy baptism, the Holy Spirit is present with the water and the word to change our whole relationship from one of unbelief and spiritual death to belief and spiritual life. The Bible, the Word of God, is filled with the power of God, the Holy Spirit himself, as he continually brings us back to repentance when we have sinned. And he leads us forward in service to God and to our neighbor day after day. Through his word, he strengthens our faith. Yes, the effects of the Holy Spirit's work are obvious in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, and in the preaching and teaching of God's word. But those effects are also evident as we go to work with joy, and as the peace of God floods and overflows from our hearts, knowing that God has already taken care of our ultimate problem of sin and death. The relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, between neighbors is different because of that love of God and its effects in our lives. The miracle of life is the miracle of the love of the triune God for us and for all people. As Jesus says to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. The God who loved us is the God who gave his Son to become a brother of all humanity. The Son who gave his life into death in order to destroy death for all people. And the Spirit who gives and preserves faith through reminding us constantly that God has given us new life. That is the miracle of life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen.